Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says, wait for the pages to get done. There we go. In verse 6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now here's my text. You've heard it 1,000 times. You're going to hear it again. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, please bless the word to us today. Help us just for a little while forget what went on before and worry about what's going on afterward. And Father, just concentrate on what the Spirit has to say to each of us today. God, please keep me from saying anything I ought not and cause me to say that which you want me to say. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And be seated, please. This text, very familiar to all of us. I hope the whole book, every time I open the book, it's a familiar text. Amen. If you've been reading it any length of time. Yeah, and I've been saved some 48 years, and I'm not a ginormous Bible scholar and know all the deep secrets and truths. I know just enough to get me to heaven and how to live till I get there. Amen? That's all the Bible tells us anyway, is how to know you're going to heaven when you die and how to live till you get there. So every time I open the book, I feel like I'm saying a familiar passage, and they ought to all be, with the exceptions of the genealogies in Leviticus, maybe. Don't tell me you haven't skipped them in your Bible reading. But this passage records the Lord's last meeting with the disciples and while he was here on earth. Very last thing he said. Now, part of the last thing he said. He said, and ye go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And right after he said that, he said, but ye shall receive power as he was taken up. That's part of his last words. And I know you folks are well taught in the Word of God, and you know already that the Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. Some call it the fifth gospel. And while he's preparing to ascend back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, before he leaves, he commands and commissions his men to reach the world with his gospel message. He reminds them of what should be the central focus of their ministry. He reminds them that they're supposed to keep, and this is my message, keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? He had to overcome a distraction, though, as we read verses 6 and 7, where we see the disciples want to talk about future things. Jesus is trying to conduct the world's first missions conference, and they want to turn it into a prophecy conference. Brother, I'm telling you, I can empathize with them because of the fact that today we're living in the last days. And if you're one of those poor, misguided souls that believes in global warming, you better wake up and smell the roses and read the book. Because it's not global warming, it's God's judgment on a sinful world. Amen. That's all it is. And don't listen to the politicians and all those morons. Is it okay to call a moron a moron? Don't listen to them. The world's not going to fall apart. God's going to take it down so low. We're going to go home, get married, and we're going to come back and see what they did to the world that God made here. And it's going to be a mess. And he's going to fix it. Amen. So much so that the Jews will live on it for 1,000 years. We'll live in the great city in New Jerusalem. Well, no, that comes later. We're going to work as leaders with him, co-rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. After that, we're going to get a brand new earth. And wouldn't it be nice to live? Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to live in the Garden of Eden? That's where a lot of people are going to live for eternity. at the end of that thousand-year reign. What a blessing. That's another thing at another time. All I want to know is, praise the Lord, we need to keep the main thing, and how we do that. These guys wanted to know if he's come to establish a kingdom. He tells them times and seasons are none of their concern. Their responsibility, may I put it this way, your responsibility and mine is to be faithful to him and work while we wait. Occupy till I come. Countless numbers have said he's come. I haven't seen him yet, have you?
Yes, sir.
He'll be here. Hang on. Occupy till I come. Politics, world issues, Islam taking over the world, and they are trying very hard. That's their goal. All these things that are going down today, they're interesting, scary. I get excited. What little news I do read or allow myself to hear, I get excited because it just simply means, boys and girls, we're one step closer to home. That's all it is. Let the earth fall apart. Let the socialists have it. They've already got the majority of it. Give it all to them for all I care. Just live for Jesus. Amen? Nothing has changed. Our duty is not to get caught up in future events or any other theological disputes that distract us from the main thing. We need to be careful that we don't allow Satan to distract us from our very purpose of being left in this world. Our duty is to be busy working for the Lord while we wait for him to return. Verse 8 tells us what our duty is. Jesus commands us here, living in all time periods, to be his witnesses to the world of his gospel and of his saving grace. I get tired, just like you do, of all these false churches and false preachers. I love everybody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about the people in those churches. I've got some very, very good Catholic, Pentecostal, other type of churches, friends. I cannot fellowship with them as a rule, but I treat them decently and they treat me decently. But they are so misled because they will not see the Word of God. I'm not going to get real critical because I was very misled because I thought I knew the book better than any of you fundamental Bible thumpers, you know. I used to make fun of people like you. Bunch of weirdos. I thought I had that old man almost won to Christ when he read some of the materials I was looking at. And instead he said, hey, that's interesting. He said, and he started talking to me about it, and I knew he read it. He says, can I show you something from the Bible? I said, sure. He earned a right. I use the Bible in the occult. He said, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. He just took me down the old Roman road, and in the course of about 6 weeks, this old hard-headed heathen became a hard-headed Baptist, born again. Amen. Amen. Baptist because I got saved in my kitchen. No other reason. And I grew up, I tell people I was Methodist born and heathen bred, but when I'm gone, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. But the gospel has been so perverted. All these false teachers, false leaders, these television preachers, they all know just enough truth to be dangerous. Just enough to make it interesting. I listened to a guy one day on TV way back in the dark ages, and I thought, man, this guy's good. He was shucking that corn right down to the cob, and then he started speaking in tongues. Then he said, he made this statement. He said, at least the Baptist brethren have enough sense to stay with the King James Bible. Then I found out, what's his name, Paul Hagee or something like that. He was good to listen to, but boy, is he off on his doctrine. Once you learn it a little bit. But to those innocent folk out there that really don't know the book, they can be misled very quickly. But to them, what we need to make sure they understand is that there is only one gospel. Don't get caught up in everything else. We need to be careful that we don't allow Satan to distract us from our very purpose of being left in this world. Our duty is to be busy working for the Lord, waiting for him to return. Moreover, I declare, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, not the full gospel. This is the full gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory when I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Aren't you glad? And that he rose again the third day. Aren't you even gladder? Amen. Paul said it like this, Romans 4:25, who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is the full gospel. He didn't say, get saved and get baptized. He didn't say, get saved and speak in tongues. He didn't get saved and get healed. And none of that junk. Amen? Those are all wonderful biblical doctrines, but they're not the gospel. Verse 8 is very clear. Every believer is commissioned, commanded, and constructed to share the gospel with a lost world. We're supposed to be his ambassadors in this world. That's a very big privilege, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. I want to share some of the qualities shared by all gospel witnesses. This text reminds us of exactly what we're supposed to be doing as we move through this world, and this passage teaches us about the main thing that the church is to be doing. I want to examine this passage and preach for a few minutes on keeping the main thing the main thing. Now, if I annoy you by watching my notes carefully, my wife loves it, because if I get away from that note, we're going to be here a while. All right? Amen? And I do have TBI, so I've got to stick by it, or are we going to go to rabbit heaven? All right. They think I'm kidding. Now, why do I say this is the main thing? Well, first of all, I say it because here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been beaten and scourged and marred beyond the visage of a man, hung on a cross to die for our sins. He was buried 3 days in the grave, was resurrected, about to ascend into heaven. His last words physically to his followers, as they could see him and speak directly to them, he could have talked about anything in the world, anything. But his last words, most people would agree that anybody's last words on this life are usually the most important they've ever said. His last words were a command and a commission to share the gospel. Not to walk on water, unstop the ears of the deaf, cause the blind to see, raise the dead, cast out devils. He didn't tell us all that stuff. He said, share the gospel. Now, if it was that important to him, it should be equally important to us. And churches all across this country today need to learn to keep the main thing, the main thing. We find the main purpose for our Lord's virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection in one simple verse. I believe this is castleology. Can I put it that way? If you don't agree, you have a right to be wrong. Go ahead. I believe the whole Bible, Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, was written to point us to Jesus. And I believe that there's one verse that sums up his whole purpose while on this earth. And that's a simple verse, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to do everything else. Glad he did. But I'm teaching in Sunday school on the sign gifts, and the sign gifts right now are all the spiritual gifts, but I'm on the sign gifts right now. Sign gifts were given back in the day to the apostles to validate the works of Jesus Christ. They were always given to the Jews, remember? A Jew seeketh after a sign, but the Gentiles after wisdom. And they were always saying, show me, show me. They were all Missouri Jews. He allowed those things to go on to prove to his nation of Israel. It validated him as the Christ and his apostles as his men. Never given to the Gentiles, any of them. Now, there are still gifts today. No, as you were. Gifts are gone, but the things are still there. I believe that God allows... anybody speak a foreign language in here? I'm still working on English. And I'd like to take some missionary sometime. I tried to learn Spanish and French in school, and they said I was a hopeless case. They said, you need to learn to talk redneck, boy. And I already knew that one. But the foreign language thing, you get these missionaries, and I said, Lord, please don't ever call me to go to the mission field unless it's English speaking. Because there, and even some of those nations, boy, you'd get ate alive. You go over to Scotland or Ireland and try and talk with a brogue, and they'll eat your lunch. But be that as it may, I said, please don't. You know why? Because I can't speak any foreign languages, nor I don't have the capacity to learn them. I'm not being rude. I'm not a lazy student. I just didn't have the capacity to learn those. But isn't it amazing how some people God calls to the mission field can go out and in 6 months they're ready to do a gospel message to somebody in their language? That blows my mind. Some of these missionaries that I knew when they got right out of college, my first church was right down the road from Hiles Anderson, and Doc Hiles used to say, or Dr. Evans actually, sent all the first-time missionaries graduating to my church. Thanks a lot, Doc. And they come out, they barely spoke English themselves. They come back in 2 years, and they were speaking so fluently, I wanted to beat them up. I hate smart kids. Anyway. In order to stick to the main thing, I better get with a message or I'll be here all day. In order to stick to the main thing, first of all, we have to have the right message. You have to have the right message. Jesus tells his men that they're to be witnesses unto me. He's to be the sole purpose and sole focus of their message. That hasn't changed. We're to tell the world about him. We're not to talk about us, our lives, our beliefs, our denominations, our church, our favorite preacher. None of those things have any saving power. His message does. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're to tell the world about Jesus. We're to tell his message of love, his death, his resurrection. We're to share the message of the gospel. I wished I had time. I'm going to skip over some of this because you're well versed enough. Romans 10:9 down through verse 13 and John 3:16, Acts 16:31. You all know what I'm talking about. That's the message. We're to tell the world about him. We're telling the world that Jesus will save anyone who comes to him by faith. Somebody once said, I'm just a nobody telling anybody about somebody who can save them. Amen? We're not sent to try and impress the world with our grasp of theology. Many people know the theories of theology, but they don't know Jesus. Many know all about the glories of heaven, but they're headed to hell. How sad. Like that old blind guy in John 9, all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. Amen? Everything I used to believe in that King James Bible, in my false religion, didn't make a lick of sense once I got saved. Once I was blind, now I see. Jesus is the reason. That's the message we're supposed to share with the world. You're not going to talk anybody out of their church by pointing out all the bad points. I mean, books are written, my Catholic friends and all, those are good tools if you've already led somebody to Christ and you want to help them along the road, but don't give them something like that. Before they're saved, they're going to hate your guts. Amen? All you can do is you know what? This is still a supernatural book. We forget that. It is a supernatural book. How did you get saved? Think about it. Somebody been praying for you, number one. Number two, somebody had to tell you. And number three, it was the power of God that worked on your heart. I can't make anybody get saved. You can hold all the guns to their head you want, but you're not going to do a thing to get them saved. They've got to hear about Jesus. Our only mission is to point people to Jesus. He's the only hope the world has for salvation. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, I could take off on that verse and start out with those first two words and preach a whole message on the great I am. I did that one time after I thought about that, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. You tell the people I am hath sent you. See how many times in the New Testament Jesus says he's I am. He's the guy in the bush. Amen? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Think I'm kidding? Use some common sense. You know, I tell lost people all the time, you know Jesus, you know all about him. You say, how do you think I know all about him? I've heard how you talk. You ever hear anybody use Buddha's name? Or Hare Krishna? Or any of those other false leaders? He's the only hope the world has for salvation. Someone said, all we are is one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. How true that is. We overcomplicate witnessing. We really do. Did you get saved? How? Jesus is the bread of life. John 6:35. He's the solution to the spiritual hunger of the world. I need to share with others what others shared with me, according to 2 Timothy 2:2. Other things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Pass it on. Amen. In order to stick to the main thing, we have to have the right message. We have to have the right methods. The word witness translates the Greek word martys. It refers to those who bear witness to the truth. Came to be used of those who bore the ultimate witness to the truth, of those who laid down their lives for the truth. Thus we get the word martyr from this word. The issue is not myths and legends, but facts and truth. Jesus is calling his people to tell others the truth about him. The word witness was used in the Bible times like it's used today, and it speaks of those who testify in a court of law. A witness in a trial, you know as well as I do, is called upon to tell what they've seen and what they know to be true. God is calling his people to tell what they know and what they've seen to be true. Do you know anything about him? Has God done anything for you through Jesus Christ? If you can answer yes to those questions, that's what you're supposed to tell the world. Do you know that God loves you? Tell the world. Do you know that you're saved? Tell the world. Do you know how God saves sinners? Tell the world. Do you know who to tell? Tell the world. Amen? We have a lot of great examples in the Bible. There was Peter at Pentecost and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and Paul before Agrippa, the blind man before the Sanhedrin, and on and on and on we could go. These great witnesses just told what they knew. That's all. That's all the Lord wants you and I to do. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. Set him apart in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know why we don't do that? Because we've got that new car set apart in our heart, or we've got that little gal we're looking at set apart in our heart that one day maybe I'm going to marry her. Or maybe we're looking at the one we did marry and saying, why did I do that? You got that set apart in your heart. I don't know. We set back everything but the right thing sometimes. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, not your job, not your career, not your bank full of money or any of that nonsense. One of these days, when this old world burns, brother, I wonder what some of the people I know are going to do when their money burns up in the banks. You're going to sit and cry like babies. You know, I could eat a dollar bill if I wanted to. I'm a human garbage can, but I can't eat them. And I tried chewing up a quarter once, and Mama smacked me good. But you know, some of that stuff is not going to be good for you. In order to stick to the main thing, right message, methods, thirdly, we must have the right mindset. The witness in a court of law is to testify to the judge and the jury, but the witness to Jesus Christ is to testify to the whole world. That's a big task, so Jesus breaks it down for us. Begin close, move out. Our mission field is anywhere lost people can be found. Simply put, most of us will never go to the uttermost part of the earth, but we can serve in Jerusalem. We can witness to our families, our friends, our co-workers, total strangers, to anyone we meet, anywhere we go. Now, for those of you that are discouraged with your families, when I got saved back yonder in 1972, I was a young man about 22 years old. And I first thing I did was went to the man that tried to lead me, well, that did lead me into the occult. And I told you all this years ago. His name was Moses. Some of you haven't heard it because some of you are too young. Moses was leading me through the wilderness, I'm telling you. And I walked in after church, after I got saved, and he looked at me and he says, Al, you did. And I said, yes, Moses, I did. Oh, tell me you didn't. Yes, I did. And I sat down, tried to win him to Christ, couldn't do it. He listened. He went to church himself. They tried to get him to become a Sunday school teacher in the church he went to. And he wouldn't do it. He said, I'd blow this church apart. I said, you would if you taught him what you taught me. I went home, I called my parents. Dad, I got saved today. That's nice, son. Called my sisters. Well, good for you. And they're all the time thinking, it'll wear off. I was a stinker. I wasn't the worst of people in the world, but I wasn't the best either. And I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody said, well, that's nice. He's trying Jesus. Maybe that'll help him. You don't try Jesus. You either do or you do not. Amen? Some of you have been listening to Yoda. There is no try, do or do not. Yeah, you didn't think I knew you knew that, did you? He was right, do or do not. We can witness to our families, our friends, our co-workers, total strangers. And it came automatic. I didn't know what a witness was. Nobody told me. I just got saved. I hadn't been in church in years anywhere. And, duh, people didn't believe it. Why? There's something inside of me that said, you got to do this. You ought to see me the first time I sat in a bar after I got saved and tried to drink a beer with the boys. At my first sip, I about choked on it. Something said, that tastes nasty. And the stink in that place from the stale smoke. And the language was offensive. You know, the language I used to use. That wasn't mama. That was the Holy Spirit saying, son, get us out of here. And I got us out of there and ain't been back. He told me to be the witness. I didn't know anything about that. It's just something that God puts in you right off the bat. We're to be always on a mission for Jesus, telling a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. If we get opportunity to go to our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, we should make good use of those open doors. We can and should do that through the church's mission program. Amen? Always. I love these churches that call themselves a missionary church. You go in there and they haven't got one missionary. Everyone we meet is either somebody that believes or they're in need of the gospel. They're either lost or saved. Let's tell them about our Savior. Let's share the glorious news that Jesus saves and will save all who come to him by faith. The Spirit and the bride. Who's that? The church, you and I. We're supposed to say, come. Now we will one day, when this was written, but we're supposed to do that now. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What's really sad is that most believers won't talk to anyone outside their comfort zone. They'll visit with friends, family, and acquaintances, but they won't go to somebody that's lost that they don't know. They're afraid to share the gospel outside their own realm of reality and safety. As a result, most church members aren't involved in any kind of evangelism. They have the mindset, my four and no more, when there's a whole world that needs to be reached with the gospel of grace, and it's our job to take it to them. Amen? If we really believe people are going to hell without Jesus, and if we really believe that the gospel's for all men, then why aren't we doing more to get the gospel to them? Why aren't we out there telling a lost world that Jesus saves? Could it be that we really don't believe everything we claim we believe? My preacher used to tell me, he said, Al, you only believe that part of the Bible which you're willing to obey. Later on, as I grew and I learned the book, I got thinking, I know what he was talking about. He said, if we don't obey, we might as well be called Jehoiakim. Get our little pen knives out and cut that part out and throw it away. I don't like that part. Problem is, Jehoiakim cut them all out, like some of you do. Ooh. Anyway, let's get back and be nice again. Could it be that we might be in that massive crowd that are saved and satisfied? Could it be that we've forgotten to keep the main thing the main thing? I got news for you. I can't speak for everybody, but I know when I got saved and most people I've led to Christ, the first thing I wanted to do was tell somebody else. That was automatic. If that wasn't automatic with you, there's something wrong. Some of those things God put his spirit inside of you when you got saved. Are you listening? Distance between heaven and hell, folks, about 18 inches or 16, depending on how big you are. But the bottom line is, you all know it here. Let's get it here. You get it here, he puts the spirit in there to keep that going. And we need to go with the right mindset. We need to go understanding that God wants us to seek and to save that which was lost. In order to stick to the main thing, then, fourthly, we must have the right muscle. You know, if our message is to have any power, if our methods are to be successful, and if our mindset is ever to be what it ought to be, we're going to need help from outside of ourselves. Now, I tell you, I came to a time in life like a lot of you fellas did. When we were young, we were big and we were strong. We could lift. We could impress the girls. And when I was 40, things started to fall apart. When I was 50, they started to hurt a lot. When I was 60, what ain't hurting ain't working. Amen? It just broke. And y'all laughing, you young pups, but one day I was where you were at once. Not where you were at. I had three older sisters. They were sitting down that side, down on this side. Anyway, I'm telling you, one day you're going to get old. Take care of yourselves now, because what don't hurt won't work one day. Brother talked about Derek Lowen having a slipped disc in his back or a herniated disc. I've got six. Spinal degeneration. I'm falling apart. Why? My golden years. All my gold goes to the doctors. Young ones are laughing. The old ones know I'm telling you the truth. You know what? I can't do things that I used to do. I need help. But if our message is to have any power and we're going to be successful, we need help as well, spiritually. The people in the upper room were promised that the Spirit of God was coming, and that when he came, he would fill them with God's power. Luke 24:49, Jesus said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. When that power came on the day of Pentecost, those terrified disciples who'd been hiding from the Jews in fear became bold preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they preached that gospel, 3,000 souls were saved, and then 5, and then 10, and then 20, and it grew. What made the difference? It wasn't their eloquence, it wasn't their oratory, it wasn't their delivery. What made the difference was the power of God on their lives. You know, in today's churches, we wouldn't allow Jonathan Edwards in our pulpits. He was boring. He handwrote all of his messages. He had Coke bottle glasses, and on the day, we claim that he preached the greatest sermon ever preached. I don't believe it. I think we have just as great a sermons today as they had back then, maybe greater. He got up there and he didn't wax eloquent. He didn't wander around. He didn't wander and run rabbits and get you up and laughing. He stood there and read those boring notes one word at a time. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Now that was a great message. I got to give you that. I've heard some a reproduction of it. And it was a great message and a great truth, but no greater than we're preaching today. What was the difference? Why did over 5,000 people slip out of their pews, hanging onto the side, begging God not to send them to hell? Overwhelmed with being lost and wanting to get saved. What was the difference? Power. Not his. That was a man, though, that was filled with the power of God. He lived for God. He breathed for God. And God, Paul the Apostle, was a man of contemptible speech. He was hard to look at. I mean, he was just uglier than a mud fence, amen, to listen to him tell about it. Moses couldn't speak well. He had a cleft lip. But man, what God can do with an imperfect vessel if we just sanctify him in our heart. Amen? Just give our lives to him. He'll fix your marriage. He'll fix your child-rearing problems. He'll fix your finances. No, you're not going to wave a magic wand. He gave you a magic book. No, it's not a magic book. It's an empowered book by heaven itself. This is Jesus Christ on the printed page. The whole book was written about him and by him. And it gives you everything you need for this life. Like I said, I wasn't kidding. It tells you how to know you're going to heaven when you die and how to live till you get there. Follow the book. How do I do that? I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You guys listen to the guy behind this pulpit, and I guarantee you, you won't go wrong. And you say, well, I don't agree with him. No, you don't agree with God. What a day when men and women have to fight with a pastor over dress standards and issues like that. How stupid can you be? Obey them which have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. For that is unprofitable for you, not him, you. When you got a man of God of this quality, you pay attention. You pay attention. He's giving you the word. Now, if he says something that's not in this book and you can prove it, then you go and talk to him about it. You don't go tell everybody else our preacher's a heretic. Right. You might not have seen something or heard something just right. I had a lady and her husband in Hammond, Indiana, said, preacher, you said this in this sermon, and she gave me the day, date, and the hour and the title of the sermon and everything. And said, "You've really offended me." I said, "Really?" I says, "Come on in." Her and her husband. Husband's a good guy. He'd do anything. He'd give you a shirt off his back. She, not so much. And we went in there. I said, "Now, you said it was this, this, and this." And I pulled out the very tape that we recorded. Back then we used cassette tapes. I know you kids don't know what those are. But they're the precursor to what you have today. And we sat there and listened to that whole sermon. And not one time anywhere in there did I say anything even close to what she said I said. I mean, she had it wrote down. And I said, did you hear that, Brother Cedric? He said, no, sir. I said, Miss Larice, did you hear that? And she just gave me a dumb look. She said, well, I thought I heard. I said, you heard what you wanted to hear. See, she didn't like pastoral authority. That's all it was. And she heard what she wanted to hear so she could stir up something about the old man. And it flew back in her face. Listen to the pastor. Where did the power come? It came from the fact that they were saved and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, not just a comforter, but another one, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Listen, people, how many of you saved in here? Amen? How many of you saved? Did you receive the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved? Do you realize everything that Jesus Christ did while he was on this earth was through the power of the Holy Spirit of God? And do you know that we have the same power at our disposal that he had? Say, what's the difference? Start living more godly like he does and you'll have more power. I love God supremely because he gave me his Son, because he gave me his Holy Spirit, and just as equally important, he gave me his Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right here is the glory of God. Get in it. Don't give it that 5 minutes a day stuff. Get in it. Shut those stupid video games off and all these, you know, when a 6-year-old kid walks around yakking on a phone, some parent needs to have their brains examined. Teach them to read the book first, amen? You got them on that stupid telephone all the time and they talking to people that are no importance to their life at this point. I'm not talking about an occasional call to grandma and grandpa. I'm talking about they get on there and they just yak, 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 yak. Good night in the morning. It came from the fact, this power they had back then, that they were prayed up and clean before God. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. You need to talk to God about the lost that you're trying to win before you talk to the lost about Jesus. Don't ever go out soul winning without prayer. Ever. Ever. You want that Holy Spirit power to go before you. And I've had places to where I've gone and the Holy Spirit has said, don't go to this one. I mean, not because I'm afraid of it, but because the Holy Spirit just said, don't go there, and I've not gone there. I don't know why, but I've had others, he said, go there. People, don't be afraid to talk to people when you have the Holy Spirit going before you. It came from the fact that they were united in love, heart, and purpose. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That same power is available today to all of us. If we're going to have the power of God on our witness, on our words, our works, we're going to have to get our lives in the kind of shape that the Lord Jesus can bless and use. We're going to have to get like the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Fear of who? Of God. That's a reverential trust in God. Amen? Now, my daddy was a big man when I was a kid growing up. In a sense, he was the God of my world. I was lost. I didn't know any other. But he was my hero. Yeah, he was a big 300-pounder, and I'm telling you, he could whoop three men in a heartbeat. I've seen him do it. And I'm telling you, he was a good man. He wasn't saved, but he was a moral man, but don't cross him. I had a pretty healthy fear of my dad. You know, he was pretty good with the woodshed, too. That's why I feared him. Why? because I knew what he could do and would do if I got out of line. Now, sometimes the pain was worth the gain, and I took the woodshed, but I'm telling you, it was not a joyous occasion. The more I learn about my God, the more I realize how much he loves me, but I also realize that he will chasten me. And he has over the years, and believe me, you don't want to go there if you don't have to. When we do these things, we'll see the Lord pour out his power on our witness to the world. Until we do, we're going to spin our wheels and accomplish nothing for his glory. We desperately need God's power on our lives. We'll never enjoy his unction and his power until our hearts are right with one another and with him. If you have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ and you've not dealt with that issue biblically, that is a handicap to the power of God being manifested in your life, and could hinder power in the church. If you have some secret sin buried in your life, it's a hindrance to the power of God being manifested in you. We need to stop looking at everybody else and seeing what's wrong with them and start looking at our own hearts. When we do, we're going to get to where he would have us to be, and we will enjoy his power on our witness. How important is it to you to be a witness? What are you willing to change in your life so you can be more effective as a witness? What are you willing to deal with so that the power of God can rest on you? What price are you willing to pay for the touch of God on your life? How long has it been since you told someone else about Jesus? I have the privilege of driving a Med Express van for Senior and Family Services out of Washington, taking older folks, that are, and not always older folks, younger folks as well, that are invalid, that take them to hospital appointments, doctors, things like that. I had the privilege of going down to Washington, Indiana, and taking a lady to Vincennes the other day, all the way down there and back. She asked me because she had Catholic beads and all this. She was a Catholic. She grew up Catholic. Her brother took her to a Pentecostal church, and she started going there. And boy, you talk about as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. That girl had it bad. And she started asking me questions, and we talked the whole time. I preached the whole time and led her to Christ. Amen. 75 years old. And you say, well, you can't lead somebody like that to Christ. Try it. That's your problem. You've never tried it.
Right.
You've never tried it. She was as messed up doctrinally as they could be. How long has it been since you've told somebody? Let me just remind you that every one of us is going to give account of our witness to Jesus someday. The hour is late. The time to tell the world is now. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He said that because he knew he was about done here. Hey, folks, I hate to say it to you young kids, but we're about done here. I'm not a fatalist. I'm just saying Jesus is coming soon. Old Testament, every verse that deals with his first coming, there are at least 8 that deal with his second. And since I know the first one's been fulfilled exactly as God said it would, why would I doubt the second? I don't know the date and the day and the hour, but I know the times and the seasons, and we're there, folks. Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't near as bad as what we're seeing in the world today, I promise you. Church, we've been distracted from our missions. I think we all have to share some responsibility in that. This is the hour for the churches in America to recapture the mission that God gave us. Amen? This is the moment when the main thing needs to become the main thing once again. It's time to deal with our personal issue. You know what? That early church didn't go out and organize and appoint treasurers and appoint this guy and appoint that guy and had this club going and that club and had to have team meetings and all that. You know what they did? They went out and won the world to Jesus. They were so excited about their salvation that they wanted to spread the gospel everywhere they could. Where did we go wrong? I'm not against organization. Don't misunderstand me. The early church was not organized, but it was a babe. It was just starting. The organization came many years later. And I'm not against outreach programs of different kinds. I'm not against that at all. I don't think God is. As long as that mission has the intent and purpose of keeping the main thing, the main thing. They had a youth rally the other day that I'm told was fantastic. 120-some kids there. What's the main thing? Win them, wet them, and work them. Amen. 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 We need that. We need fed from the Word of God. It's part of our purpose. Time to deal with our personal issues, and it's time to deal with our sins so that the power of God can rest upon us, and that God might be pleased to save souls in this place and in the places this church is sending missionaries to around the world. Time to obey His voice for all of us. God will give us the power to get to the church's mission program, to give to the mission program to the places we can't go, called Faith Promise. I've seen people give money that it almost seems like they're giving more than they make, and you wonder how. But if you know my God, you know how. Amen. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name. Thank You for the patience of these folks. And Lord, I thank You for Brother Ross allowing me to come and preach to his people. What a privilege it is. But Father, we're not here to entertain. We're not here just to meet with a bunch of nice folk. We're here to preach the Word of God. And Father, I hope the folk are here to hear from God. And Lord, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to them, then please, Lord, help us to respond to that as well we should. Father, I pray as we give the invitation to that sweet Holy Spirit of God, would You speak to hearts as only You can do? Perhaps there's somebody in here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They don't have that peace that passes all understanding. That something that's just missing in their soul is still there. God, help them to realize we can fill that gap with the Holy Spirit of God if they'll just come and let us show them how. For that Christian that needs to get something straightened out in their life, perhaps some secret besetting sin, perhaps they're just praying for someone to get saved that they want to lead to Christ. Whatever the need, Lord, we need Your power. And the only way we can get it is on our knees before a holy and righteous God as we bring our petitions to Him.